The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, recorded on April 24th, 2000 at Chicago.
I thank everyone for coming this evening, especially the hosts, Arun Patel, Prabhu and his family, kindly inviting us to dance around his house for the pleasure of Shishi Kishore Kishori and sing the holy names. Srila Prabhupada especially gave these names to the worshipable deities of Chicago, Kishore Kishori. We worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he and his beloved consort are Kishore Kishori. They are eternally youthful. They are beyond all the limitations of time. Who in this world can claim to be Kishore or Kishori? Eternally youthful. We pass through six transformations. First, this body is born. It grows for some time. It has some duration. It produces some offspring. Then it begins to dwindle and get old. And then it dies. From the Himalayan mountains to the insignificant germs, everything within this material existence is passing through these transformations. Krishna explains in Gita, Mamupeta Punarajanma Dukalaya Mashashvatam Natnavanti Mahatmana Samsidim Paramamkata. My devotees, they make their goal in life the spiritual world, not this temporary place that is full of miseries. Old age is a very sad, difficult misery to have to pass through. But actually, everyone's hoping that they will pass through that. The only way out is to die young. Either you die young, or you suffer the terrible, tragic miseries of old age. You have no third alternative within material existence. When we are young, I'll speak when everyone else has finished speaking. When we are young, we think that we'll remain young forever. And we see older people, and very theoretically we know someday maybe I'll become like that. But it doesn't really register within our hearts. We can't really come to a acceptance of a realization that someday our body will be deteriorating with the miseries of old age. But if you look at the photograph of your great-grandmother or grandfather who are wrinkled up and ready to give up their body, at one time they were blissful, playful little children with bright eyes and very fresh skin and very flexible limbs. But time is all-devouring and all-powerful. And it is consuming everyone. Actually, Prahlad Maharaj explained it in this way, how everyone is always waiting for some better time in life to fulfill their desires. Do you remember when you were a little child, how much you were longing to grow up? And then when you're grown up, how much you wish you could be a child again. And if you tell a child, if an adult tells a child, you're so fortunate to be like you are. Go to school, learn, have nice time. You're so fortunate to be young. They can't believe you. It's not within their capacity to believe you. Because they're not really satisfied. They're thinking the older people, they get to do whatever they want. They don't have to go to school. They don't recognize they have to go to work. They have to take care of the children. They have to do chores hundreds and thousands of times more miserable than going to school. But because they're not going to school, they think they must be blissful. So you may say that being a child is good, But I have to go to school, and you don't. So they don't really believe you. Parents have this understanding. Children know this too. They want to grow up. They want to do what they want. They want to be like the people on television or in the movies. Or they want to imitate their parents. But they can't really do it as children. And then you grow up, and you're in your adolescence, and then there's so many pullings, tearing your mind and your senses this way and that way, and so many challenges. Especially in India, you go to these colleges, and the exams are dreadful. In America, I haven't seen it so bad. People are under such severe pressure. They're just worrying for months at a time about their exams, years at a time. Somehow or other, they're just wishing to get it over with. Finishing your exams is like responding to nature. Once it's finished, I'll feel relief. But then you finish your exam, then you have to start a career. Very, very difficult starting a career. You have to work so hard, so many hours, so much competition to establish yourself, and you're thinking, if only at that time when I'm established, then I'll be happy. When will that day be mine? When I'm But are you ever really established? By the time you're established, you're getting old. You can't read without spectacles. Your teeth start falling apart. Your breathing becomes difficult. Dangers of heart disorders. Perhaps arthritis. And from that point on, it never gets any better. And then you look at the young people who you were once a young person, wishing to be like this. And you're thinking, how I wish I could be young again. If only I was a child again, I would do it all a different way. I would appreciate what I have. It's like you have parents, you don't appreciate them. But then when they leave you, then you realize, oh my God, why didn't I do so much that I could have done for them? The sadness of this world, rarely do we appreciate anything until we lose it, and it's too late. We lose our youth, then we appreciate what youth is. We lose loved ones, then we really appreciate who our loved ones are. One of my very, very dear godbrothers, he has wife and children, and he's telling me, when I was a brahmachari, I was thinking how nice it would be to have wife and children. And now I'm thinking, the best years of my life was when I was a brahmachari. But it was not possible for him to realize it at that time. Grass is always greener on other side. That is material world. So we're always waiting for that time, even in spiritual life. We're postponing. I know I should surrender wholeheartedly, unconditionally to Krishna, but not yet. When we're children, we're thinking, when I grow up, then I'll do it. When we grow up, when I pass my exams, then I'll do it. When we pass our exams, when I get established, then I'll do it. Then you have children. When my children grow up, then I'll do it. Then your children grow up. Then you have grandchildren. When they grow up, then I'll do it. And then by that time, you're so conditioned with so many desires. I want to eat this. I'll just eat this for just a little while longer, then I'll do it. I'll just watch this a little longer, look at this, and then I'll do it. This activity gives me some material happiness. I know I have to give it up, but a little longer, then I'll do it. I'm 60 years old, but maybe when I'm 61, then it'll be easier to give it up. Maybe 62. Then you're 62. 64 is an auspicious number. Maybe then I'll be able to do it. So we're postponing. We're not appreciating the opportunities we have. And meanwhile, Time and tide wait for no man. The love of this world is subjected to time. Eternal, everlasting youth, at the very prime of their youth, the Kishor age is around 15 years old. At that time, peak of beauty, peak of energy, peak of life as far as youthfulness. Soon after that, you start deteriorating. There's still innocence. Everything that's good is at its perfection at that age. Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, they never age beyond Kishore Kishori. They are eternally youthful. And they are standing on the altar, giving their darshan to invite us into their world of spiritual love. Because in their world, we cannot bring these material bodies. We enter with our eternal souls. And those souls are of the same constitutional nature as them, eternally youthful. Hare Krishna.
That's what you wanted to hear. That's what you wanted to
hear. She's not so intellectual to understand these lectures, but she likes kirtan. This was Prabhupada's great gift to the world, that he has taught us the culmination, summum bonum, of spiritual understanding and realization. It is not that because of the sufferings in this world we should try to annihilate our personal existence and worship an impersonal conception with the hope that my whole identity will one day be obliterated. And in that annihilated state, I will merge into the oneness of the nothingness of the impersonal existence of God. Does that sound like the ultimate bliss of existence? Or to eternally live with an eternally blissful, youthful, spiritual body in the divine presence of Kishore Kishori, interacting with them in transcendental love and devotion. Srila Prabhupada installed these deities to give the good people of Chicago the opportunity to receive this gift. Big problem in every society in the world, what to do with old people. It's a big problem. In every country, some nations in the past, they just kill them all. People who are not productive within society, kill them. They're useless. But little do they think that someday I'm going to be like that, and it's fast approaching. Whether you're a tiny baby, or whether you're in your old age, because you're an eternal soul, you want to live. Everyone wants to live. And everyone has the right to live with protection in this world. And everyone has the right to perfect their lives in this world. So there's a big problem with old age. Here in this country and other nations too, there's capitalism, socialism, communism. What to do with the ever-increasing number of people of old age who can no longer make any income? In India, it's not such a problem because there's a very strong family structure where the children remain living with their parents throughout their lives and they take care of their parents. But in this country, do you know how much a nursing home costs? Fortunes. Where are they going to get the money? Government has to pay. Government means the taxpayers have to pay. Social Security, to balance the budget, they're always talking about cutting Social Security. That means no more money for old people. How will they survive? How will they live? What to do with them? That is why we worship Kishore Kishore. Because in their abode there are no old people. Everyone is eternally youthful, and you are eternally youthful. And the only real solution to the problems of the sufferings of this world is to realize the eternal, youthful, blissful nature of your own soul. Bhogaishvaya prasaktanam taya patita chaitasam vyavashayatma kabudhir samadho nivadiyate. Those who are too much attached to material opulence and sense enjoyment, and who are bewildered by such things, the resolute determination for devotional service does not take place. Let us be determined. Let us accept what is favorable for devotional service and put aside what is unfavorable, so that we can make some actual solutions within our life, and by trying to propagate principles of devotion to God, we can help make real solutions within the world. Not these scotch tape type of solutions. You see this microphone stand? It was falling, so we scotch taped it. But I'm watching during the lecture. Little by little, the tape is loosening. Scotch tape does not last long. I'm going to end soon before I'm embarrassed in the microphone. So material solutions to the problems in this world is like this scotch tape, just somehow or other trying to hold things together. And the politicians, with no doubt, scotch taping has to be there. That's just something that has to be as long as we're trying to survive in this world. We need a lot of scotch tape. And the politicians are promising rolls and rolls of scotch tape for everybody. Somehow or other make some temporary arrangement to what's falling apart, unavoidably, to hold it together for some time. Prabhupada said, keep body and soul together. So if we keep taping up our bodies and taping up our families and taping up our lives temporarily so that we can do something permanently during the duration of what comforts we have within our life in this world. While this tape is somehow holding the microphone, I'm trying to speak Harikatha. Temporary arrangement. But in the temporary arrangement, trying to create permanent solutions. And that is what human life is meant for. We must be honest, we must be pious, we must live in the mode of goodness. We must be very truthful, very moral, very ethical. We must have integrity. That is Brahman, that is Vaishnava, that is culture. But within that pious type of life, we want to strongly be searching and dedicating ourselves to the absolute truth, to the real solutions to the problems of life. And that is, the real solution is wholesale, wholeheartedly taking shelter of Sri Sri Kishore Kishori's lotus feet by serving them, by serving their devotees, by hearing their glories, by chanting their names.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Ram. Hare Ram. Ram Ram. Hare Hare.
Thank you very much. Is there any questions anyone would like to ask? Yes.
As you said that we all know that we have to surrender to Krishna wholeheartedly, but we just keep it postponing year after year. But like, in spite of knowing all this, how should we tell our mind that, you know, I should stop this? Because we know, we have the knowledge, but we, when Maya attacks, we are not intelligent enough, or Maya takes away our intelligence for that moment and we succumb to the mind. So how should we actually train our mind, or you know, how should we solve this problem? That, you know, that intelligence always remains all the time, even when, because actually when Maya is strong, that is the time when we have to be strong, but that is the time actually when we succumb to the mind. So how actually should we understand this? How to actually develop that determination?
That is the function of intelligence. Intelligence is that gift that God has given us to discriminate and make proper choices. It is not that Maya steals our life away year after year. If Maya were to come before you and present, "You just do this one thing for me for the next year," you probably wouldn't do it. But she will come to you and say, "You just do this one thing for me." Maybe the way you think, maybe it'll be the way you speak, maybe the way you act, for the next minute. Then you think, "That's not so bad. 1 minute. I may have many years to go. 1 minute isn't so bad." But then when that minute passes, you become that much more attached to her false promises. And she takes another minute and another minute. Through minutes, through moments, that is how she consumes your weeks, months, years, and life after life after life. So we should know this. We have to hear from the Holy Scriptures and the association of sincere devotees striving for realization, because hearing and discussing these topics in this association will give us a clear understanding of who we are, where we want to go, and how Maya is moment after moment trying to prevent us from getting there. Like a parent with a child, if a parent sees that a child is in bad company, that bad company is saying, "Smoke this cigarette, drink this alcohol, take this drug, stay out at late at night to do this. Only one night. You won't get caught. It won't hurt." The parent understands that the beginning is the end. There's very little distance between the beginning and the end, between the beginning of misusing of our independence and a waste of a human life, total downfall. So we must understand properly. If you're fighting a war, you have to know what is the enemy's strategy so that you can counteract it. So by reading Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, by hearing it in the association of devotees, by keeping our spiritual determination strong by chanting the holy names regularly, through this process we can remain alert, clear in our understanding of what is reality and what is illusion, and we can be protected. But the most important principle is association. When you're fighting a war, you need your comrades. You depend on them for your very life. When you're in the front lines and Maya's shooting at you, you look toward your God brothers, God sisters, and all other devotees, and you think that we need each other. We need to protect each other. We need to cover for each other. Otherwise we are lost. And we should have Krishna conscious culture is so wonderful. It's so full of pure, transcendent happiness. Nice katha or lectures, nice festivals, nice kirtan, nice deity worship. If we actually follow Krishna consciousness the way it should be, Prabhupada said Krishna consciousness is a festival all day, every day, for all eternity. We should see it, and we should make it like that for each other. Why should we turn to the false promises of the illusory energy? We have to control the mind with our intelligence. But our intelligence has to be strengthened and fortified by sadhana and association, satsang. Then it is not only possible, but it is guaranteed. Manmana bhagamat bhakto madhyajim na namaskuru mame vaishashi shatyam te prati jani priyoshime. Krishna says, follow this process. You will come to me. It is my promise. Ananyas chintayanto mam ye jena paryupashute tesham nityabhyuktanam yogakshemam bahamya. One who practices devotional service, meditating on Krishna's personal form, he personally carries what we lack and preserves what we have. That is our hope, Krishna's mercy. Any other question anyone would like to ask? Very happy to see all of you again. Chicago's a very special place. Prabhupada came here twice. You have State Street, the Great Street, famous throughout the world, Maha Street. Chicago is...
Mahamarg.
Chicago is special because it has always been seen as the crossroads of America, more or less the center of America, as far as transportation, communication. It's been like that for many generations. And I was told that O'Hara Airport, when I was young, was the busiest airport in the entire world. And now they're building it so it will be the busiest airport once again. That means more traffic jams and everything like that. Because Chicago's a very important city. It's the crossroads of America. But somehow or other, what each of you can do to help the people of Chicago become Krishna conscious could have a great effect throughout America. And America, of course, is the most influential nation in the world. Don't think that your efforts will not have a major impact in the world. All great things began with small men doing small things. And by their determination, they became great, and their missions became great. And we have Prabhupada and Krishna behind us. It's their mission. We're just trying to help, like little spiders, kicking some sand on the bridge that Prabhupada's building between the material world and Vaikuntha. Thank you very much. Did you want to speak something?
I was thinking that when we are always defeated by this Maya, how much the super soul help us to defeat Maya?
Paramatma is fulfilling your desires. Ishvara sarvabhutanam hridyesh arjuna tishtati brahmayan sarvabhutanam yantra rudanimaya. Directing our wanderings. We are like a machine made of material nature as our body and minds. And the Paramatma is directing us, but directing us according to our desires. So if we have sincere aspirations, and we do those activities, mm-hmm. and associate with those people, that will cultivate a stronger and deeper desire for Krishna consciousness, then the Paramatma will direct us in that way. Definitely. Adoshitata sadhu sangotaka patinakriya. Just a little bit of faith in our heart in Krishna, the Paramatma, is so pleased that he will direct you to the association of devotees. In that association, if you practice bhajana kriya, the principles of devotional service, rāgadveshiva muktaishtu viṣayanindriyaishtaram atma viṣaya vidheyātma prasāram arigacchati, these regulative principles of bhakti, they bring us freedom. They attract the complete mercy of the Lord. Thus, by that mercy, we can become free from all attachment and aversions. So if we show Krishna that we're serious, then the Paramatma will direct us from within and from without to give us every possible facility and protection by which we can perfect our devotional service in this life. So yes, we are completely dependent on the mercy of the Paramatma. Completely dependent. And if we please Paramatma by our determination and our sincerity to do the best we can, honestly, then Krishna will give us every possible requirement to go back home, back to Godhead in this life. Thank you very much.
Hare
Krishna.